Hey, this is Pirate RC, and I'm at the House of Blues in downtown San Diego with Javier Dunn. How you doing, Javier?
I'm doing great.
Up all night at the window, holding tight to a picture frame. You're inside, something doesn't feel the same.
You guys have a sold-out show tonight. That's pretty exciting.
Pretty amazing. San Diego's always been a really good city for us in terms of fans coming out and stuff. But this tour in particular has just been awesome. So, yeah, so far, so good. Sold-out shows.
So you kind of have, like, a dual role tonight. You have your own set, and then you have the set with Sarah Bareilles.
Yes. So. It's a lot more work, but I love it. I mean, the real hard work is Sarah's gig. You know, that's where all the thinking is involved and stuff like that. My set's a little more just improvisational and like feeling it, you know, but it does, I forgot how much extra work it is to be like the first guy, the support act, you know, and dealing with all your own merch and like just taking care of your own thing, dealing with the bills and stuff. So I got really used to the luxury of being Sarah's guitar player.
Yeah.
So it's good to be brought back down to earth.
So how did you two meet? So like in 2006, I know you had your debut, it was released, right? And then when did you start playing with her? Was that...
I started playing with her before that, in 2003.
Okay.
We met at UCLA.
Oh, cool.
And then we were both in separate... She was obviously doing the solo thing. I was in a couple other bands. And we would always play the same venues and have the same friends and stuff. And then her guitar player left the country. Had to move out of the country. So she hired me.
Cool.
I mean, and that was... Summer of July 2003, so 7 years ago.
And are you her studio, one of her studio musicians all?
No, nothing on the very first record she made, Careful Confessions, all of us, the guys, the drummer and myself have been with her for 7 years. We were on that record. But once she signed a record deal and there was lots of money at stake, they're like, you know what, your band's adorable, but we're going to have like professional people come in and do it.
Yeah.
So now I haven't, I've sung like background vocals on some songs and like gone in and... You know, they'll throw a bone about, like, participating, but no, she has incredible guitar players playing on her new album. It's amazing. So then it's my job to learn all the parts to be able to do it live.
Yeah, so that's actually leads to a question I had just as far as, like, and you kind of already alluded to it, but how do you go about when you're performing, like, when you're performing in someone else's set versus your own set, what's... the difference for you, I guess.
The job for Sarah is the hardest musical work I've ever had to do in terms of rehearsing and learning things and pushing myself, really, really playing parts that are beyond my skill level and having to rise to that skill level, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it's just tons and tons and tons of rehearsal for the Sarah thing. For me, it's much less formal and more just visceral, you know? Like songwriting, and then I don't really prepare too much for the shows. I try and have them just be performance art. I know it might sound kind of cheesy or something, but like to really just get out there and go through therapy, you know? I don't, a lot of the things that normal people talk to friends about in their life, I'd rather put into songs, and then that's where I really just sort of go out and do it. So the preparation for my solo stuff is just being honest with myself and just trying to be vulnerable and real.
And in your set, are you just you and the guitar?
Guitar, and I have like a loop pedal, you know, so I'm like trying to do some like layering and stuff like that, because it's just me by myself.
Yeah.
But I've done other things too, where I've done other gigs where I'll have a couple different guitars, or I'll set up like a computer and different things like that. But yeah, tonight is just acoustic guitar.
You and the guitar.
Yeah, and vocals, of course.
And so you have an EP out right now.
Yes.
Right. One song just, I guess, that struck me was If You Go. You're definitely, I think, and I noticed in a few songs, like, I mean, you're definitely, they're like small narratives, you know.
Yeah.
Dealing with certain things, aspects of the heart.
Yeah.
What was If You Go, I mean, for you, where did that song come from?
It literally came from that first lyric of, like, up all night at the window. And I do try and write about very specific, I don't know, some songs are different, but to me it's easier to write about something very specific and literal that actually happened and to do it in that real way. Because people, it's amazing how universal those experiences are, and people really connect with, like, you know, getting out of a car or some little tiny detail that you would think is really mundane. If you write it, I don't know, it just makes it more like real or something, and you can connect with the person. So that song was literally just about missing somebody, and the idea of maybe it's easier to just sever ties with that person instead of like thinking about them, you know? I appreciate you saying that there was sort of like a narrative there, because that was an intentional effort to like just be very specific about a very specific moment, 10 yeah. seconds of my life, literally, yeah. you know, and to make that into a song.
Into a song.
You know?
And do you end up kind of, when you're writing and something like that, did you end up with lyrics first, or did you end up with almost like a...
The guitar part, I always have the guitar stuff first. I mean, I try and write words just if I have ideas, lyrical ideas, or certain sentences or phrases or poetry things, but it's kind of a forced thing for me. I have to sit down and be like, okay, I need lyrics.
Yeah.
But guitar parts and chord progressions and songs that way just come up all the time. So for that one, it was the whole guitar thing was done, and then as I'm just playing it over and over again in my hands, the little notes of the melody start to come in, and it almost always starts with a 4-word or a 5-word phrase, just one sentence that has a melody to it, and then everything is like, okay, how do I piece around it and stuff. So, but lyrics usually are like a necessity that I come up with towards the end, you know.
Yeah.
And like, I hate it because my favorite lyricists, I imagine, just write, and like Ryan Adams, you know, and Bob Dylan and stuff, they probably just have books and books and books of lyrics. They're just always writing lyrics. And I just wish it was that natural for me, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe it will be someday.
Recently that I talked to who just, she does exactly that. Like, she just has pieces or sometimes, you know, broader works that are just, and then she's just, oh, you know, and remember, where was that? And
yeah.
And that is, I mean.
Sometimes that has worked for me where I'll write something down and it doesn't have music, and then I'll attach it to a piece of music. But those ones, you can feel when those songs feel different. You feel like you're kind of putting it together as, like, if you go literally just happens.
Which some people probably have the opposite problem, too, where they're like, I have no idea what to do with the music.
Yeah,
like,
totally. How am I gonna do that? So, you know, everybody's different in how they approach it.
Did you study music or anything at UCLA, or is this totally
No,
unrelated?
Not at UCLA. I studied in high school. I was in, like, the high school jazz band and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And I took guitar lessons as, like, a kid. I started when I was 10, so I took, like, private guitar lessons. But when I went to UCLA, it was, like, at the very beginning of my freshman year, it was a choice of, like, do I want to go music program or just something academic?
Mm-hmm.
And I really felt like I wanted to do something academic and, like, normal, so to speak. You know, instead of just going full bore down this music program thing and having something that I love be turned into a grade and stuff. Mm-hmm. I didn't like the idea of, like, taking a test. You know, music to me was more ethereal than that. It could have just been an excuse because it was really hard to get into the music program. I mean, that's part of it too. But I wanted to just, like, have a normal academic career, so to speak. And I always knew music was going to be there no matter what, if I studied it or not at UCLA. Like, in retrospect, I wish I would have studied it more because there's just so much to learn always, you know. And there's a great music program at UCLA. And I kind of turned down that resource, you know? I didn't pursue that resource.
At what point did you really want to pursue music anyway? I mean,
when I was, like, 15.
So you knew.
No, I knew. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, I was really passionate from day one with guitar. It wasn't, like, my parents forcing me or something. I went to my parents, I'm like, can I please do this? And I loved it and loved it and loved it. And it was about 15 or 16 where I started writing. And that's where I was like, wow, this is like, more than just something fun. This is something that I need. Like, it's really good for me. You know, and then probably in college is when I thought maybe I could do it, you know, because there's a couple years where you think you want to do it, but you think nobody ever does. Like, I'm not good enough, you know?
Yeah.
And then moving to LA and meeting other people and being surrounded by people who are becoming successful just starts to make you feel like it's possible. You know, I still I'm still so not successful, but, you know, Sarah's inspiring for sure.
Yeah. Well, and it's kind of a relative success anyway,
totally,
right? Because you have people who
enamored
with you.
Exactly. My parents would slap me for saying I'm not successful. They think I'm the king of the world or whatever.
Which is great.
Yeah, it's amazing.
So in looking at, like, your debut and then looking at your current EP, do you see changes in yourself?
Yes.
I mean, you can hear.
I can hear it, and I hear it in the song. I hear it big time in my voice. Mm-hmm. I think I've just sung a lot more, taken vocal lessons, just gotten better as a singer. I can't stand listening to some of that old stuff because I'm just like, God, you just sound horrible. You should hear stuff from, like, high school tapes and stuff. It's the worst. But then just more mature songwriting and playing and stuff, I definitely hear a difference. But at the same time, I mean, both records were all, like, just totally made by me, you know, so I still feel really connected to that music. It wasn't like some other producer came in and made a record that I didn't feel attached to. Like, it's me. For better or for worse, you know, like, so.
Have you learned different things about producing, though? Because, I mean, just on this current EP, like, so if I listen to Misplaced Heart,
uh-huh.
and then I listen to just like the next track if you go.
Yeah.
I mean, there are definite like different qualities in
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
This
yeah,
place
yeah.
Tart, I found it like kind of extraordinary. Like you have this heavy beat kind
yeah.
of
yeah.
in it, and it kind of persists, but then you were able to like still have this like light, airy kind of sound.
Thank
above
you so
it,
much for saying
cool.
that. Yeah, no, and I.
So that's definitely a skill. I mean.
Yeah. No, I've. It's something that you don't really notice yourself when you're
yeah.
in the middle of it. You know, it takes people like commenting on it and stuff. But I definitely think I've grown a lot with production styles and I have a lot of those different sounds in my brain. You know, I want to make a record that sounds like that persistent driving beat and like an acoustic light thing. I want to make something else that might sound like a punk song that's
yeah.
like made in a garage with horrible production quality.
Yeah.
You know, like because those are literally the things. I just really, if I have some idea in my brain, I really just try and
yeah.
have it happen. It doesn't all need. I realized a long time ago my stuff's not going to sound like really professionally finished, like, you know,
yeah.
number one stuff. It's just I don't have the budget or the resources or the style or whatever. So to me, it was more about like, okay, well, stop making excuses about like why you don't sound like stuff on the radio
mm-hmm.
and just start working out the stuff you hear in your brain.
Yeah.
Know? So and thank you for saying it, because Misplaced Heart, with Vessel, I had another guy help me. Brad Gordon was the guy who helped me record it and produce it, and that was those four songs are recorded at his house.
Okay.
And Misplaced Heart is one I did during those times, but at my house.
Okay.
So it was, and nobody else's fingers touched it. So to me, it was just kind of my own little like, okay, here's stuff I just made, and I love Brad Gordon, and it's a beautiful thing. But just so you know, here's the other stuff that's going on in my
yeah.
brain. So, you know, and I have a bunch more of those things. I just haven't put them out. Don't really know what to do with them yet. But
working with Brad, I mean, did you just learn things and just see
yeah.
him do
yeah.
different...
Brad is a genius, like mad scientist. The guy plays so many instruments and just knows so many musical references and stuff. Like, I learned a lot from him. But honestly, I think the biggest thing I learned, and it's no fault to Brad, I learned that I can do better. I can push myself harder and do
right.
better work myself. You know, like, Brad was really a great mirror to for me to look at and be like, you know, he's doing things that I can't do, but he's doing a lot of things that I can do.
Yeah.
And here I was thinking that I needed some other person to make it real. You know, like, I need a producer to make
mm-hmm.
a real record. And I'm a producer.
Yeah.
You know, like, I can do these things, and I have those ideas, you know, and I can play some different instruments. And so that really what I learned the most was to just go back and be confident in my own voice,
yeah.
you know? And at the end of the day, you're going to like something that you made or that you're proud of just a lot more, you know, like, if you believe in it.
And what's kind of cool about you saying that is just pulling out, like, powerhouse producer, right? Like, T-Bone Burnett.
Yeah.
He works with huge names.
Yeah.
And they all get something from working with him. And you would think, like, someone who's had, like, a 30-year recording career, what are you going to tell them?
Yeah.
And so it's kind of like, I think they learn to be pushed, too, a little bit.
Yeah.
So that's even cool. I mean, just you finding out that you can do different stuff.
Yeah, no, totally.
And then, you know, like, as you go on, I think just you'll find out, like, yeah, I can do this other stuff, and I can pull from this and that, and I think,
yeah.
I don't know, just
no,
being open to that is...
It was not what I expected to find going into that
yeah,
process.
Which is
you
good.
Know? It was amazing.
It's like you're less defeated, I guess, in a
yeah,
way. You know, you
totally.
Can't be as self-deprecating because it's like...
Totally. Yeah, exactly.
One of your Facebook fans, since I was spying on your wall, said that you have a new toy.
I know, I said that last night on the mic.
I'm assuming...
It's an iPad. It's the loop pedal.
Oh, the loop pedal.
Yeah,
okay, I was like, it's got to be something like...
Yeah, no, it's not even that. I mean, it's not like a revolutionary piece of equipment or anything, but it's new to me, and this particular one is very new to me. Last night was the second time I've used it, tonight it'll be the third. So I have to at least preface the song with, just so everybody knows, I'm trying something new. If this totally fails, laugh at me, I'll stop, we'll move on, we'll pretend it didn't happen. But yeah, no, as soon as I said it, I was like, I have a new toy, and then I was like, well, that sounds... weird or creepy or something. So I saw the post too.
Yeah.
And, sounded great with your new toy. Yeah, that's the new looping pedal.
Oh, cool.
I do have an iPad though, and that is amazing. I love it.
Yeah, that's gotta be like
toy,
the most fun.
It's crazy.
So you're
yeah.
somewhat successful. You have an iPad. So
yeah.
A lot of people don't. A lot of people are gonna
totally.
Be like, oh, I want one, and I didn't
totally.
Get one.
Totally. I fully endorse them. They're cool.
And you use Facebook. I mean, for most of your website,
yeah.
really is Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
Is that been a pretty good tool for you?
It's been an amazing tool, and that's the reason I've streamlined to it. Like, I started out, you know, in the early 2000s with my own website, like everybody did, and
mm-hmm.
that was great. And then with social media like MySpace, I pretty much shifted all my promoting and energy and communication to MySpace. that bubble kind of burst, and now Facebook is obviously, I mean, it's not something I really love, to be honest. I'm not that kind of a person, but that's part of the music model today. Is like, you need to connect with your fans, and however they go looking for you, and it's Facebook. That's just, and Twitter, you know?
Yeah.
So I've been doing that Facebook page a lot, and then I routed my website to it. It's just so much easier and quicker and more dynamic, you know, and like I can update that and it reaches far more people than people going to surf for my page and stuff. So it's been great. And I actually have a person who works at Facebook who has championed my music, and it's just helped me navigate all the madness of setting it all up. Like, I tried Facebook a couple years ago, and I couldn't get past the sign up thing. It was just too many things to fill out, and too many forms.
There's a bunch of modules, like, kind of
all these things. And I was like, I just wanted to be a musician. I don't want, like, to be, like, high school friends. Like, I just want a music page, you know? And, like, it took forever, but it's, I would say now it's huge. It's how most people, you know, I ask people shows, how do you find out about me, or how do you know about things, or blah, 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 and it's Facebook. And that interactivity people really like. Not just so much, like, where do I go to learn information about Javier, but where do I go and write him a letter and know
you.
He'll write back.
Yeah, it's exactly. You, which is great. I mean, that's how, you know, we got in touch.
Yeah.
You know, just...
Exactly.
And it's good that you can just get in touch with someone that way.
Yeah. I mean, at a certain point, like, I know Sarah would love to do that, but there's just a million people that would send her a message, and she can't write back to a million messages. So, there's, you know... On one hand, I do really appreciate being small and being able to interact with people, but, you know...
Yeah, there's a definitely scalability at some point, but at least...
Yeah, so. But I mean, honestly, if my biggest problem is, like, oh, I have to respond to 100 fans, it's like, that's a dream come true.
Yeah,
you know, like, I'll gladly take an hour out of my day to do that or whatever. But Facebook's been great to me.
That's cool.
Yeah.
And one thing I noticed is you do some cover songs, right?
Mm-hmm.
How do you... And this might be just a question that's... not even answerable, but how do you decide, like, which cover songs? I'm sure, like, sometimes you'll just be riffing or whatever, and how do you decide what goes into your show or what you record or whatever?
Songs that I like to learn as cover songs are just songs that groove me, songs I love, songs that, even if I don't think I could do them better, just songs that I love to hear and I'm proud to make, you know? So that's how I pick them in general. Whether or not they make it into a set, that kind of just happens on stage, and if, like, I think, you know, it's a younger crowd that might like a certain kind of song or a quieter crowd that might like this kind of song. But for the most part, I pick covers as I'm listening to the radio or listening to songs. I'm like, oh, my God, I love this song. I want to find a way to do it.
Yeah.
You know? Not like, oh, I could do this better or something, but I just love it so much and I want to hear it, you know, so I want to make it real. And then sometimes I throw in bits of covers into songs. Mm-hmm. And that, I don't know where that comes from. That just happens. Like, I'll be in the middle of playing a song, and it sounds, some part of my brain says, oh, that sounds like this. And then my brain is instantly on some other tangent, and I just start, you know, singing words.
People usually dig it anyway, right?
Yeah, no, and a lot of people come up after and it's like, oh, I love the way you put in, even if it's just, like, a lyric or a couple words from a song and fit it in, you know? Like, it just gets people to sort of feel connected. Even if they don't know anything about me and anything about the song, all of a sudden they hear their favorite lyric from a song, and they're like, oh, that was kind of cool, and maybe now I did like that song or something, you know, just little ways of connecting with people.
Is there anyone that you're listening to now, or any couple artists that, you know, are on your iPod or iPad or any other letter we could throw in between a P and a D?
For cover options?
Or just in general, that you're just kind of stoked about?
Gosh, I'm listening to sort of random stuff right now. Like, I was just downloading a bunch of old Allman Brothers stuff. I don't really buy a ton of new music. I think the last new album I bought was Sarah's, to be honest. I listen to Pandora a ton.
Yeah.
And then through that, I'll go buy stuff. But, like, all my Pandora stations is, like, I have, like, a Bowie station and a Beatles station and, like, a Blue Nile, an 80s group. So, like, just a bunch of random stuff like that. Like, you know, I love AC/DC and rock. I do the front of house lists, like the music that plays in the building at our shows whenever people are getting their seats
and stuff.
Oh, that's
pretty cool.
So that's a taste of my music, like whatever, you know, you're hearing in the house. So it's like right now it's Bjork, and then it could be, I don't know what's next. I hope nothing too bad, but it's totally all over the map. And I'm never really in one. Sometimes I get in long ruts. Like, I'm trying to think of the last big rut I was in. Probably like a big Miles Davis thing, and I just bought like every Miles Davis album there was, but no, it's kind of all over the place. I'm trying to think, like, stuff specifically influencing right now is, there's not anything. I'm so, honestly, it sounds horrible, but just consumed with, like, the work for Sarah's stuff and
just
other things that, like, and it's dumb because you should always be looking for musical inspiration, but lately I've been caught up in the present tense.
Well, congratulations on the tour. I mean,
thanks.
This is great.
yeah,
so far. Looking forward to the show tonight.
Yeah, it's. I'm really looking forward to it too. I think it's going to be a great crowd. I hope it's not too loud. It's tough when you're by yourself up on stage. Like Portland a couple nights ago, it was a really loud crowd, but loud good. Like everybody was just happy to be there and excited. Yeah. But you know, solo acoustic guitar player guy. Like last night at the Orpheum was beautiful. You could hear a pin drop. You know. So. Yeah. Somewhere in between would be really nice.
I think probably in San Diego, knowing the crowd, it'll be somewhere in between. Hopefully up front, yeah, it's quieter.
Exactly.
In the back by the bar, it's a little...
Yeah, anytime people have drinks and they're standing shoulder to shoulder, it gets a little, a little bit trickier for sure.
Cool, I really appreciate the time.
Yeah,
and have a great show tonight.
Thanks for finding me and
all right, and
talking
to me. Just to get to you online, go ahead and...
Yeah, the best... I mean... The best way to find me is my name, JavierDunn.com, JAVIERDUNN. But the Javier Dunn's are not a very common name, so if you Google it, I'll be there, and it's everything/JavierDunn, whether it's Twitter or Facebook or MySpace or anything.
So like no one stole your name, so you don't have to be like a one or two.
No, or... it's perfect. Or music. I don't have to put in Javier Dunn music or anything. It's like, if you can find Javier Dunn, you found me.
Real Javier.
Yeah, that's for sure. That's it.
Okay, well, thanks a lot.
Cool. Absolutely.
Santa Barbara was on fire. Late summer, early fall. Smoke played through the wire. Carried you my call. Started with a kiss, a flicker turned to flame. Has now grown dangerous with both of us to blame. So it's always